everyone, and welcome to Hashtag No Limits. I am your host, Shelley Kino. Hashtag No Limits is about people whose society places limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is not a better or more beautiful example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. For those who don't know, the caterpillar literally has to dissolve into its cells, and just when it would think that life was over, it reforms into the beautiful butterfly. Although it's still not ready to fly, its wings have to struggle to grow strong enough once it gets out of the cocoon to take it wherever it wants to go. And none of that can be easy, I imagine, but neither is busting through limits that society places on people. And so today I have a gentleman whose name is Rob, and he's going to share with us about his son and what the limits are that some of the limits are that his son is busted through, as well as what Rob is doing with his life now to help others who have traveled the path that traveling the path that he has already traveled. Rob, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to your sharing. So first of all, I just want to comment to my audience. For those who will eventually be hearing this as just a podcast, you may want to look Rob up because in the background, he has a whole bunch of toilet tank lids. And I always find that interesting when I'm in a video chat with Rob. So I want you to tell us a little bit about those toilet tank lids and why they're there and what their purpose is.
Yes. So that was my first foray into, you know, how can I make money? I work for the family business, but as what can I expand to do this? My dad in heaven always saved the toilet tank lids. So I sell them on eBay. And these are the colored displays. You got the blacks and the beiges and the biscuits from the 80s. And then we have a pink and blue from the 60s. And so it's lots of fun. I help people because instead of having to pay a plumber to come out and replace that whole toilet, all the toilets, the lids were all made exactly the same. So I have your lid and you just set it on there and then your bathroom is back to complete.
That's so cool. And that is something that I think is pretty rare. I am not aware of a whole lot of people that are doing that. And so thank you for doing that. So that was kind of a side note. So let's get into the real reason that I brought you today. So Rob, tell me about yourself and tell me about your family.
Yes. Well, my wife and I are in our mid-50s and we have a 22-year-old son with autism, our only child. So we were going along and we didn't think we could get pregnant. We were on the adoption waiting list and that's how we get pregnant. And then, so he was developing normally and then we were behind on our vaccinations and the one doctor wasn't getting them in. So we switched doctors and we gave him 3 1 month and then 2 the next month. And that was the measles, mumps, rubella shot. And there's a documentary about that. It's too painful for me to watch. I'm too sensitive. But there is trouble with that. With all these vaccines at the same time, they are causing trouble. It's also the people having babies later in life. And also there are so many chemicals in our environment. So I want people to get vaccinated. I just want them to spread them all out and do some research. There are homeschooling families that never get their children vaccinated, and that's okay. So the autism came on and he lost his words, and so then we went through this journey of school and speech therapy and so we're big fans of ABA therapy. He did that for a long time. And he's just very stubborn that after so many years, the school they weren't making much progress and they had him in a group with some other kids and he reached over there and scratched another child. And then that mother made a fuss. And one of these days I'll run into that mother and she'll apologize, but that's fine. That's part of, she doesn't understand that her child's going to get bigger and do the same thing. And so after that, we We got a medical assistance through Medicaid. We were on the waiting list for many years because the lower income families can get Medicaid right away for their special needs child. And I encourage those families to do that. If you're middle income, then get on the waiting list. And there's lots of government help out there. It's hard to find. The state doesn't want to do the big waiver where they have to take on putting a child who's very, very low functioning in a home. But there's lots of help out there. So I work for the family plumbing business. My dad started this in 47. And so we've got this great building and lots of blessings. And my brothers, we built this, the upstairs, we've halfway remodeled it. They got two bathrooms because he wants to play in water. We went through school. We did preschool and grade school and high school. He got to go till he was 22, the way his birthday landed. So now, he wants to jump in and out of the shower. And so he'll jump out of the comes in and runs the hot water out and then asks me to go for a ride because a lot of these kids have ADHD. So he wants to go for a ride in the car. And so we do that. And then he comes back and he jumps in the shower and we go through the process again. So my dad joke, it's every 37 minutes. And what I try to do is say, well, we've got to do some occupational therapy homework or speech homework. We got to do this. We got to do that. Come on. We got to put clothes in the dryer. And so my wife works second shift. So I take a lot of the daytime stuff. And I mean, I take a lot of the nighttime stuff, and then it's overwhelming. I mean, I come to the family business to work on the toilet tank lids, and that gets a break because he constantly throws his toy and then wants me to find it. And then, like, we go out in public, like we go to the pharmacy, he wants to throw it over there inside the pharmacy, which makes him nervous. So mm-hmm. I try to, so we've been working with the behavioralist to, we leave the toy in the car or leave it. It's not allowed in mom's car, and that's good. So in my truck, he throws it in the back, and then I try to line him up on the dash because he'll throw it. Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another one. And then so it gets rough. The rides are rough sometimes because toward the end, he'll be signing toy or signing eat every so many minutes. But he loves to ride, and we just ride around and listen to life coaching podcast like your Shelley, and we learn and we go on with it.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing all that. So there's a few things that you mentioned in there that I just kind of want to circle back to. I appreciate your view about the vaccinations, and I just want to reiterate that you aren't saying that the vaccination caused the autism. And I agree with that. I think that all the things that you said, you know, like with the chemicals that are in our environment now and in our food, and then that vaccine and the fact that there are so many vaccines. And I just think it's a contributing factor.
That's right.
I don't know if catalyst is really the word that I want to use, but I think some kids are just with all of those things coming together. That's kind of the outcome of it, and not that a particular vaccine causes or does not cause it.
Yeah, I want to add to that autism comes on about 12 months. At the same time, he got those shots, and also the alpha fetal protein test said he was going to have Down syndrome. So that test was already tracking something. So yeah, families,
right,
they need the vaccinations. Be an informed parent and spread them out.
Yeah, I think being informed is the crucial part. And being informed doesn't just mean listening to what the doctor says about this is, or the health organization says about this is the time and this is when you're supposed to get these and why and all that, but doing your own research into, you know, other information about the vaccine so that you can make an informed decision. This is your child. I tell my parents when I support them at IEP meetings that you are the expert in your child. Everyone else at the table is an expert in a subject or a grade level or a degree fee, you know, administration or related service, but you are the expert in your child. Mm. And no matter who you're talking to, doctors, lawyers, educators, you are still the expert in your child. And it's so important that I think that you do your own research about things and you do take that role as seriously as it is and claim it. You know, every parent is an expert in their child, no matter who the child and the parent are.
Yeah.
And then another thing that you talked about was ABA therapy. Mm-hmm. And for someone who might be watching who doesn't know what ABA stands for, it stands for Applied Behavioral Analysis. And when it is done correctly, and with the new research that has come out in the last 10 or 12 years,
yeah,
it is very beautiful.
It is.
Now, I know there is controversy with ABA therapy from early on and it possibly being unethical and unsubstantiated and a lot of other negatives. Mm-hmm. So if you wouldn't mind just talking a little bit more about your experiences with the ABA therapy.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. Cause he went, there's a great school called Meaningful Day where they have a lot of college students running the drill and they're in Indiana and Ohio. And so I think it's a great idea. It's based on Pavlov's, you know, theory, you ring the bell and the dog salivates. So in the beginning, over in England, they were pushing the kids through some stuff and they didn't know any better. So a lot of therapies, a lot of stuff has gotten a lot better. And so I think that all the ABA people that I know are very kind and very loving. And what you're doing is that you're saying that you have to explain to the child, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is the routine. And eventually they, okay, well, my son, he's one of the great things he does. Wait, Josh, wait for me. He doesn't run out in the street because I'll say, okay, wait, unless he wants, like he's upset. We do have elopement problems when he thinks there's a toy that he's obsessed with. There's a toy store across the street, but ABA therapy cured that two-thirds of the way. And I think that it's one-on-one ABA therapy if you can have that would be great. If you can just do the group, the Meaningful Day model, that's good too. And be ready for, as you go through, therapists step up and step back, and you're going to find different people. You're going to be, in the beginning, there's a government program called First Steps. That's where you'll have your first ABA therapist. Then the child's going to age out. That therapist is going to move on. You're going to have lots of different therapists, lots of different teachers, lots of different organizations. You'll have, the home office is great, the therapist wasn't so great, and vice versa. So, stick with ABA. It's, you know, somebody that they see a video where they're trying to get the child, look, you've got to do this. And they're holding them down to, okay, you've got to do this. You can't just jump up and run and throw your toy and bite. So they've got that. So we can ask the therapist about that. So the people that are doing that are very, I mean, they're good people. And they're very loving. And so do your research. Ask them that tough question. I saw this. Is that still part of ABA? You know, ask them, defend yourself. And we will.
Yes, absolutely. And again, you are the expert in your child. And so if you have someone coming into your home, or even if you go into a therapy office, I think it's very difficult to stand up for yourself. And even sometimes more difficult to stand up for someone else. I tend to find it the opposite for me.
Yeah.
I will most definitely stand up for someone else before I will stand up for myself.
Yeah.
But I know that oftentimes I hear parents tell me, well, I don't want to be that parent. Well, you need to be that parent. If more people were doing that and everybody was that parent, then that wouldn't have the stigma with it. But you're doing it out of concern for your child. And I always say, if your dad gut or your mom gut is saying to you, something isn't right with what's happening, even if you can't put it into words exactly what you don't think is right, pull back.
Mm-hmm.
stand up for your child and say, there's something here. We need to keep thinking. We need to keep trying to find different solutions or take them completely. Like you said, maybe the home office is great, but the therapist isn't. Maybe there's a different therapist that you could work with.
Right.
So yes, absolutely. I think it's so critical and important. And if you're not comfortable doing that by yourself, then bring someone like Rob with you or bring someone like myself. So with that being said, Rob, talk about your life coaching that you're doing.
Yes, I'm a life coach for special needs families. And so what I want to do is take what I've learned for the past 22 years and help all the families with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, autism, medically fragile, and in a wheelchair, and just help these families, help them in the beginning when they're with a new diagnosis. Dad's in denial, like I was in denial for a while. I had to work through that. Moms are overwhelmed. You get working moms. How do we find a special needs daycare? A daycare that, well, they don't exist. A daycare that can handle a special needs child. And then you get into school years and puberty and adulthood. So I want to help these families have a happy life with some stressful days. So what coaching is, life coaching, is it's the same thing as therapy, only the therapist has the training to look to the past and diagnose. We work with the future. So a life coach, you sit down with us. You turn off your phone, you spend an hour with us, and you talk about what are your long-term goals, what's going on. And with special needs families, okay, what kind of fires you putting out? And as you talk about it, and then as we reflect back, then you're going to pick up little pieces. And then we're going to ask motivating interview questions like, well, what would happen if I think you need a vacation? I might float that. Well, what if you just jumped in a car this Saturday morning, drove 2 hours, had to play, go to the splash park, and then come back? What would happen? And then if they start working out that idea in their head, that's a lot better than if we say, you need to do this, then we're getting into consulting, we're getting into mentoring. And that's not what coaching is. So the International Coaching Federation is big into separating that. And that's what they emphasize in coaching school. It's all about ethics. And it's about understanding where the parent at and what coaching really is. So that's what I want to do. I want to help the families. And also, you have siblings. You have siblings that feel left out. You have, should I have more children? What happens if this is my special needs child is a second and third child? How do I help my other children have a happy life? And what do we do? And then you work with them, you make sure you do the best you can. And then when they get to be older, sometimes they feel like, well, I can't go live on the other side of the planet. I can't, I've got to do an industry. I've got to take a job. I've got to stay close to home. So that's stressful. So work with your adult children to say, look, we're going to have all this stuff laid out. We're going to have a special needs trust. We're going to, the money will be fine. What we're going to do is that we've got this in place, and we're always, and what I want them to do is surround themselves with a team of people. You've got grandma and grandpa when you're younger. And then as they step back, then you always be thinking, well, what's my team of people? I've got to have a behavioralist. I got to have a speech therapist. I got to have a feeding therapist, depending on what your child's higher functioning children need, job coaches. And you need all different types. So I encourage the families to put together a team and of different folks, and just be ready. Always be looking your nieces and nephews that are running around as kids. When they, as they grow up, expose them to your child, maybe they'll go into something. And always, and take care of yourself with respite. You have to, because when your child's small, then there's lots of help. Now, when they get big and strong, then they frighten people. And just be careful when they're doing something that's cute when they're five, but when they're 25 and then it frightens people. So you have to always be ready to work with your behavioralist and have people around that can be ready to that you can support your child and can be strong-willed enough that the child will obey them, or be very big and strong themselves that they can handle. They can handle them running out in the street and be ready to grab them.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you talked about the behaviors at the age of five and what that might look like at 5 or 10 or 15 or 20 years down the road. I oftentimes worked with my special education students as when I was teaching, and that was always on my mind. And I had some other teachers tell me that I was like a drill sergeant because of how kind of strict I was with the students. And I said, well, the reason I do that is exactly what we just talked about. This behavior might be cute now, but if I don't stop that behavior and give them another way to express whatever they need to express, in 5 years, it's going to be a whole lot harder, but it won't be acceptable then.
That's right.
And so I have to be constantly thinking about what does this look like in the future? And again, you know, going back to therapy, behavior therapy, I mean, now we have board certified behavior analysts, and they are more often than not the ones providing the ABA therapy. And I was trained a little bit in ABA therapy, and I, in order to provide it to my students, I don't have the full training to do the full programs, but that was something that I took away, was it's key to find what is the expression behind the behavior and what other way can that child express that that will be socially acceptable, will be appropriate, won't cause someone harm, won't be taken as an overt, overly aggressive or overly touching behavior later in life.
Yeah.
And so I was really thankful for that training early on in my career, because that did help me change my mindset. And there are so many behaviors that we think, oh, that's cute, they want to go hug everybody. Yeah, that really is cute when they're five, but not so much when they're 15 or 20 or 25.
Yeah.
You know, and so finding a way to give them that affection that they need, or the sensory that they're getting fulfilled in that hug when they're five or six, or setting parameters of, okay, we can hug these people, but we can't go hug people we don't know.
Right. Amen.
And yeah, and so working with all of that. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. And again, just, you know, the parent being the expert and getting that respite care for the parent.
Yeah.
I think that is huge. And there may be people listening who don't understand what we mean when we say respite care. Mm-hmm. Would you mind explaining that a little bit more?
Sure. Yeah, respite care is a babysitter, only you don't have a baby. And what it is that you get a break. You have somebody that can watch your child while you go out to dinner, while you go to the grocery, or just to watch them while you take a bath, while you cut the grass, you jump on the lawnmower, you get the ladder out, and they got the child in the house. You're up on the ladder cleaning out the gutters. The child has never seen someone go up a ladder. Does autistic children, if they never saw you go up the ladder, then they don't know that's what that's for. So you want your respite worker or your child care worker or babysitter, wherever you want to call them, though, they're going to keep the child inside the house and take care of them, keep them safe. They can they can have fun. They can say, look, no rules, you can have soda, you know, and they can make it fun. And have the child have a happy time with them, so when they come, they're ready. And a respite worker, it's not just baby. It's not like you're babysitting as a young person. You're going to be, these are going to be people that are trained or going to be in school for special needs. They may be in college working this, and they've got a desire to help these families. And you can get that through an agency, because as I encourage the families, get on the Medicaid waiting list if you're higher income, low income, and an agency can can will provide a respite worker. And then also a lot of times lately we have a lady watching our son. We had many interesting ladies. We had a great lady for 5 years and she's went on. And so what happens is you can't find any help. So what you look for a family member. If there's somebody, mm-hmm. a college student, an older person, somebody retired, a niece or nephew, then what to do is the agency, you've got the money, the government Medicaid money to pay for respite help. You get your funds, you can pay for respite, you can pay for therapy. And so you find a relative and they pay the person, they pay you find your own respite worker. You take them to the agency and then they train them, they pay them, they take out the taxes, they do all that stuff. Then that helps them in their career. And then they could, if they really learn working with you, then maybe they would want to take a shift helping somebody else. And it's a, mm-hmm. it's a great way to spread the love and the joy of respite and working with special needs families. So it's a great thing to do for a while or do as a career.
Yeah, absolutely. And we make it sound like it's a simple process. Well, you just go to the agency and you just fill out the paperwork. Was it a simple process?
No, it wasn't. It takes a long time to find the right person and the right temperament. You find somebody that they're already babysitting your child for a while. They're doing childcare, and so that's what happens because the problem that one of the big things that I want to help is that there's a lot of help when children are young. There's lots. Mm-hmm. It's so cute. But when these kids get taller than their parents, when there's not a lot of help for the kids that are big and strong and low functioning, or they're teenagers, they don't understand. You try to explain it to them, they don't understand. They want the script or they want the STEM, and so it's they have echolacia. They want to repeat the same things, or they're obsessed on. So that's what I want to help is these families of older kids. And that's what we run into as we get older families, that there is the adult daycare. They want to watch kids that are in a wheelchair. They want one worker to watch three kids. They can't, mm-hmm. they don't know how to handle our kids that are lower functioning, but very, very, mobile. So you have to, it's a long process to find different people. If the agency can find people, that's great. We got very lucky. Another lady stepped right into place, find an agency that's got a, because all the agencies get all the same amount of money. It just depends on how they treat their employees and what they pay their employees. So you find a good agency, you stick with them, and you have to be sometimes ready to move. Like I've got the family business, I've got family here. If I didn't have that and there was another organization, another program, I'd up and move. I mean, you lay that on the table, you have to, if your child is first, I've had families move to Louisville to let their child work at UPS because UPS had jobs for high functioning kids with autism, and they moved here so those children could go to work there. So everything's on the table. This is a lifelong deal, and I encourage parents to always have a fun hobby that's you can't just worry and do this all day long. You have to have a hobby. You can get into gardening if there's some hobby that they can help with, or some type of interest. Like I know a nice guy that his son wants to script movies. Well, then he works at the movie store. And then he says, well, let's run these lines. He says, okay, you do character A, I'll do character B. Well, character B only has a few lines. Well, dad's figured that out. So just get into, if you can find a hobby, You need something else to do besides living this day in and day out. If you can have a hobby that your spouse does, if you do separate hobbies, support your spouse in separate hobbies.
Right. Do you know the names of any of the agencies that could possibly help with providing that respite care, or just in general that would support maybe state agency names that should be about the same across every state?
Unfortunately, I do not. The big thing I want to recommend is the Laughing Duck Facebook group. There are 1,500 moms and about 50 dads in hiding, is my corny dad joke. But they, but you get into the local, find your local autism Facebook group, because all the they're all different. I don't want to. I don't know enough about that. I know our place is the Bureau of Developmental Disabilities. So I would look for that Bureau of Developmental Disabilities and look, go to your state website and then scroll around in there, and they'll be, there's the programs will be in there. And when you get into Medicaid, you have a Medicaid manager. And so that's their job to help you with all this stuff. So they can guide you. They can point you in that direction, and they can educate you. They can mentor you with that.
Awesome. Yeah. And I know every state, according to the federal IDEA law, Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, has to have a parent information center.
Right.
It might not be called Parent Information Center in your state, but if you just type into Google or whatever search engine you use, Parent Information Center, and then the name of your state, it should generate something, mm-hmm. whether it's called Parent Information Center or not, to help get you started. And then there's also, I believe in every state, the Department of Human Services. And so that would be another organization, I believe, that could possibly, even if they can't give you the answers, hopefully the person you get on the other end of the phone, would be able to point you in the right direction of where you needed to go in order to get some of that help and some of that support. It is, my understanding, a very overwhelming at times, if not all the time, mm-hmm. parenting role to yeah. be parenting a child, especially an adult child. And it sounds weird to say adult child, but I mean, I'm still my parents' child, even yeah. though I'm in my 50s. So, but I think it's important that we clarify that we're not talking about 18 and younger. We're talking yeah. about the adult aged children. And yet there are parents who will be taking care of those adult aged children until one of them isn't able or isn't here anymore. Yeah. And I really appreciate that you mentioned special needs trusts earlier mm-hmm. in our conversation to help with that. I don't know. Now, in your state, did you have to do the guardianship when he turned 18?
Yes, that's two different things that you mm-hmm. parents of lower functioning children need to have that on your radar screen. Because after age 18, then they could go to the hospital and you couldn't go in the room with them. They couldn't come talk to you about their medical situation. So you go for guardianship, you do that, and then you set up, you get a special needs trust. There are lots of different people that do it. MetLife, Gordon Holmes, their company has moved on to somebody. They've been gobbled up by somebody else. But there's lots of people, lots of organizations that Northwest Mutual has a lady in Chicago. And so what happens is it's usually one mom or dad that has a special needs child. And this becomes their passion, their financial planner. And then they can set that all up and walk you through it. Then you get an attorney and you set the trust up. And then what happens is that if somebody wins the lottery, wants to give you some money, then you don't lose your disability. You don't lose your Medicaid, because they say you've got to get $2,000. If you can't have more than $2,000 in your account. And so so these people will help with that, and you set up your trust, and the money is easy. You just get a large life insurance policy, name them the beneficiary, put your wills and your house into the trust. And then we get to get into putting together a team of people I don't know if I've already, we've already gone over this, but to write out everything that you know about your child, all the little quirks. So have that written down.
Yeah, it is. Again, it's another very big, important job to do. It can be very overwhelming, but if you can find someone who is able to work well with you and kind of break it down into the smaller bits, do this part first, now do this part, instead of just jumping or throwing all of it in your lap at once.
Yeah.
Even myself and my husband just making our own wills. I mean, nobody wants to think about that, mm-hmm. but it will make it so much easier on your children when you're gone, or on your, whether you have children, on the people who are still here when you're not, mm-hmm. to be able to process things and get things moving and not have to do a lot of thinking also while grieving.
Right.
And it's all spelled out and already done for them. Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about the things that you do in life coaching and the things of how to help parents that are of the age where their children are adult age now. So let's go back to talking about your son and all the limits that your son had maybe had placed on him that he busted through. So just the fact that, you know, he's gone all the way through school.
Yeah.
That's one limit right there. A lot of people don't expect for kids with disabilities to go all the way through school.
Yeah.
So share some of the, if you can remember, some of the really awesome experiences throughout school, and then some of the ones where they weren't so great.
Yeah, we started off with, we had a really good teacher in the beginning in a special ed preschool. And so we did that for a couple of years. And then we went to another school and we had a very good teacher. And then we had not so good of a teacher. And then we went to high school. We had one teacher that was very distracted, and Josh had went off and tried. He went through this elopement stage where he wanted to sneak out. And one time he snuck out the classroom and his mom caught him. She was coming to deliver something. Josh, what are you doing? Because he was closing the door because he wanted to run down to the library in the grade school and jump on the couch. Well, he did the same thing in high school. He went and laid down, and the teacher was so distracted that he got left in the classroom. So all of a sudden, the janitor comes in, and my nonverbal child comes up, and he's signing EAT. So they get on the radio, and the principal, and they come running down there, and the teacher is let go. And so that what was hard on that, he was a good teacher. One of the parents was very upset with me. I met him at the fast food place, and because he loved that teacher. And so that was hard. And the good thing about that is that there was an aide who was not in charge of making sure everybody was there, was accounted for. But I was very impressed with her. So they gave me everything I wanted. I didn't try to take them. I said, I want this lady to run the classroom. I want this. I want that. And I wasn't interested in suing them because they fired the teacher. And so we did that. That was one of the things. And one of the nice things is that your child listens and understands things. And so he loved school. He liked this one particular teacher. And I said, well, school's going to be off a couple of weeks. And then he started fussing because he understood that. There are times when he ran to the school bus because he loved the routine, loved to ride the bus. So the teacher of the last year was very strict and he was very bored with school. So that didn't work out. Now the last time, Josh was when he was in middle school, my wife has migraines, and Josh went to us at the chiropractor, and he saw the doctor adjust her neck. So one of the other teachers, so I've got a migraine. Well, Josh goes behind her and tries to adjust her neck because I know what to do on that. So,
right.
So that was very good. And he's with, that was very cute. And we did the, his talking program, we started with PECs, picture exchange. Because we put out his pictures, we laminate them on a card, and he would show you the picture. We had them stuck up on the walls, and then we as smartphones came along. In the beginning, they were just on Apple, and then they got to be on Android, and we had lots of programs, and he would scroll through them, and he'd point the picture. And the lady that was a good disciplinarian was watching him. Josh would go through that, and he'd say, "Code Red Mountain Dew," and it was my voice, and she'd say, "Oh, no." And what I'd have to do is, I said, "We're going to see the chiropractor," and I'd point to the picture of the chiropractor. And then he was fine when we went on the road and we didn't go to the plumbing shop here where he assumed we were going. So he's inside there. And that's what people have said. He's inside there. So I'm having a good day when he does something like that. Like he will, like on his talking device, he can figure them out. I can teach him a sign in a few days. I think we get through school. I'm starting this life coaching business with the baths and with the showers. I'm trying to work with him on the stuff, and he can get it. Like we're working on saying his name. So he knows where food, eat, my food's chicken nuggets, boom, boom, boom. So last night, well, we don't have chicken nuggets. Here is French toast sticks. So here he can hit that. So once he knows where it is, so right. I don't think there's any. I think that I'm going to find a sign language therapist. I mean, he's stubborn like his dad, and at the school, it took a long time. Like with speech therapy, can only go about 30 minutes, but he gets that from me. So I think that we're going to be able to catch him up. We just held on for dear life through, and then we had the catatonia, which we suffered for a few years, and we didn't know what it was. And finally, we switched doctors, and a doctor prescribed, "Well, that's catatonia," because he would try to run around and bite himself, push tapes in and out of the VCR until we gave him the sedation medicine that we had to do for haircuts and dentists. But that issue was resolved. In 20 years, I've never heard of catatonia in autism, and it stumped my team. But that's out there. And the other big thing is, like the haircut, I used to have to give him the medicine as we do for the dentist. But I was able to take him because we had trouble with the schools. I mean, haircutting places didn't want to cut his hair as an adult. And well, that's discrimination. To try to take him to court and get him in trouble, I found this glorious barber college. And the other day, twice now, we've given him a haircut without having to sedate him. I do have to hold his head, and I get them to hold his arms. And that's kind of scary, you coming in there. Well, why are they holding him down? Well, he won't let us cut his hair. We've tried VA. We tried that where, okay, you see us. Okay, we're going to get to the door. We're going to do that. Then the next time we're going to go in. And then the next time we're going to four a month to get you into the chair. It was down in his eyes. So he doesn't like it. But when we pull up there, he starts to fuss. But he'll go in. He'll sit in the chair. He'll try to get up a couple times. But just keep on doing it, mom and dad. It's not fun like the dentist and the haircut, but eventually you'll do it.
Yeah. And it, you know, I don't know exactly what it is about haircuts, but I have a theory that, you know, it has to do with that there's these sharp objects coming at them, you know, and they think it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
But that's just a complete theory of my own. Obviously, I don't know. But I mean, that happens to a lot of younger children.
Yeah.
But for somebody, you know, who has autism or just some other sensory component of their life, that still could be something very scary for them even into adulthood. And
yeah,
I think it's so important that we do keep trying different things, and we don't just say, well, this is never going to happen, and we give up, or we just accept, you know, like you said, you don't have to sedate him the last two times. Mm-hmm. That is huge.
Yeah.
That is so huge.
Right.
And so, you know, to just have said, well, we're just going to have to sedate him every time he goes to the dentist or gets a haircut. And, you know, maybe eventually you'll get to a point where he doesn't have to be sedated to go to the dentist.
Yeah.
But again, that's one that I know a lot of adults, neurotypical or neurodivergent, have a difficult time going to the dentist.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
You know, there's a lot of neurotypical people who take things before they go to the dentist. And they're, you know, people take things before they fly because they have anxiety about flying. And I think it's important that we talk about these things in that way and compare those things. Like, well, just because it's a haircut doesn't mean that's a negative, because you do have people who are afraid to fly and they have to take medicine before they fly. Yeah. You know, so it's not, oh gosh, you know, they can't get their haircut, we shouldn't be doing all these things. Why not?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's one of the reasons for hashtag no limits and for my book that way, those who can't teach, and trying to share those different experiences and perspectives so that we can appreciate differences and not be looking down at differences as being bad.
Right.
So I love all the things, all the limits that he has busted through. And thank you for sharing all those different stories from school and life experiences as well. How do people find you? I have your website pulled up. I can share that if you would like, or I can just put the, all right. So let me do that. And you can talk a little bit while I'm pulling that up. There it is. I love these, by the way. This is.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my, that's the second page. And one of my hobbies, all parents need a hobby, is I collect happy memes and their life coaching memes. So I've got on the second page of my website, like there's the horse saying, are you okay? So I've got something happy and then something inspirational. Then you've got a saying there. Mm-hmm. And I put that up on the second page. And so my website has my calendar link, and you can my phone number, and you can set up a meeting, and we'll get to know one another and see if I can help you. And then the memes, what I've been doing is I have them running as a screensaver on my computer, and it gives me so much joy. And I come back to my desk, I sit down after running around the plumbing shop, and that thing's scrolling by. So I've been working for months on trying to find a way to share them. So I just put that as a gallery, and all you got to do is bring up the second page of my website and let them run, and they'll run, and you won't see the same one twice. And if you just let it run all day long, and it's a gift of joy. I want to spread joy. I'm the life coach who spreads memes.
And yeah, they are so fun. And I received the link in my email the other day, because I think it says somewhere that you'll send it out on a thumb drive, or you'll send out
that's
link directly to it. Or where they can like just go to your website and just keep your website up all the time. So I see here, so your website is lifecoachingforspecialneedsfamilies.com. Right. And let me pull, I do have that typed in here. Let me pull that up so that pops up on the screen. Thanks. So when I first typed it in, I just put life coach. And so you got to make, that's why I emphasize the ing, life coaching for special needs families.com. Mm-hmm. And then, you have different things here that you are talking about. You've got moms, dads, siblings, grandparents, couples. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's a way to contact you. You've got your phone number, and then you've got your book an appointment here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to help? Are you willing, I should say, to help anyone in any state or country, or do you have parameters as to who you and where you can help?
I do not have any parameters. I can help anybody in the United States and Canada. There's a nice school in Vietnam, special ed school, that wants me to do a teaching. Well, I'll get up at 3 a.m. and do that. So I want to help all the families, and I'm going to coach them directly overseas. I can get up early. We can do email. We can do text, but the issues are, it's the same issue no matter where you are on the planet.
Right. Absolutely. All right. So I am so appreciative of you being here today, and I know that you're doing this on your lunch break, and I want to let you go so you can go get a bite to eat before your lunch break is over.
Okay. And
is there any last parting words that you want to share today before we wrap up?
It's autism. It's scary, and it can be very rewarding when you surround yourself with good help and good services, good support.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you. And again, how you find Rob is you go to www.lifecoachingforspecialneedsfamilies.com. And that's Rob Ralston. And he is also, if you're looking for a toilet tank lid, he's your guy for that, especially if you're looking for ones from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. He can help you out with that as well. Yep. Rob, thank you again so much for being here. And thank you to my audience who joined today. Make sure if you're watching this in the replay, if you have any questions, that you put them in the chat and I will be sure to get them to Rob. And I will see you all next time. Remember, hashtag no limits. We know who we are, but not who we will become. Bye-bye, everybody.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, S-H-E-L-L-E-Y-K-E-N-O-W.